Hello, and welcome to the Divorce Woman's Guide podcast, where we talk about the things us divorcees are thinking, but not always talking about, as we turn our divorce into the best gift you've ever been given. And I do so with a little bit of sass and a whole lot of class. I am your host, Wendy Sterling, founder of The Divorce Rehab. I am here to support you in this transition phase of your life so you can start your new, best chapter on your own terms. After all, that's what I did after my own divorce. And now it is my mission to change the conversation around divorce and help you see why your divorce, like mine, was the best gift you ever received. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. I am so happy that you have tuned in today because I am here with Holly Beatty. Hello, Holly. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. I'm doing great. I'm so grateful to be here with you today.
Me too. I'm so excited to dive into our conversation today all around dating. We are going to talk about what does it mean to have a balance between being selective and not being selective enough? So before we dive in, Holly, I want to share a little bit more with our audience today about you and your background. So Dr. Holly helps sincere, kind-hearted, conscious, single clients find the love of their dreams. With a doctorate in clinical psychology and a successful career in executive search, she is uniquely qualified to find your perfect match. She founded Find Love at Last in 2014 to help sincere women and men find lasting love and has been a matchmaker, coach, and image consultant for over 7 years. Working with sincere, commitment-minded single men and women who are ready for love, she introduces you to a high-caliber match to create the love that you desire. Dr. Holly is a dating expert and inspiring speaker who empowers, advises, and speaks on image, strategy, online dating, partner suitability, communication, and commitment. She works remotely with clients all over the world. So wherever it is that you're tuning in from, Dr. Holly is your gal. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation because there's so much that I want to pick your brain about. And I know that we were chit-chatting a little bit before we hit the record button about there's so many great, juicy topics to talk about. And, you know, we'll see how many we can get to in our time together. But first and foremost, I always love to have our guests introduce what it is that inspired you to take this path and to do the work that you do today.
Yeah, great question. So I started off as a psychologist, working with victims of crime, mostly teenagers. Went straight through from kindergarten to doctorate, not a path I necessarily recommend. But when I found myself, you know, doing my dissertation and getting all my hours, I found myself a bit burnout. And so I stepped into executive search, which is what I had done as I worked my way through graduate school. And that was, it was lucrative, but not that meaningful for me. And when I got laid off years later, it really set me on a soul searching journey. And I was really trying to find, you know, what I was passionate about because I'm a multi-passionate woman. And so it was more of a matter of eliminating things. And so my journey took me to Africa twice. And when I got back, I decided to start this business, gosh, 7 years ago now. And I really wanted to help people expedite their path to love. Personally, I had had some really wonderful relationships and I'd had some challenging ones. And I just thought, you know, before I found my amazing husband and we've been together over 7 years now, but I just thought it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard to find our soulmate. And if I can use my experiences, the good, bad, and ugly, to help other women, plus my, you know, all my years in graduate school and working with people, if I could help expedite people's path to love and make it faster and less painful and less disappointing, then, you know, I really consider this my calling and my passion. So I just feel super fortunate to do work that I love that brings other people more love.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know that for so many of us who go through divorce, love is something that we dream of finding again. It is something that we want to have. And I think that so many times we never know when the right time is or if we're even deserving of having that kind of a relationship. So in terms of where people can kind of start, where do they start with, you know, at what place do they know that they're ready? You know, what is a first step that they get to take looking in the mirror when they believe they're ready to make the leap?
Yeah, great question. So I think it all starts with desire. You know, not everybody wants like a deep soulmate love in this lifetime. But I'm guessing if you're listening right now, you probably do. You may or may not be ready, but you got to start with the desire. And, you know, if it's in your heart, then it's intended for you. And just as we use our heart and our soul and our intuition to lead us in other ways, like professionally for a passion or calling, mm-hmm. So too, we should use our heart to guide us in terms of our desire for love. And so I think really starting there with what do you really want, you know? So some people know that, you know what, I'm not ready yet. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think we just have to kind of level with ourselves and get honest. Other people know that they are ready. And some people know that they're ready this year. I want it this year. And when you make that, when you put intention behind it and a timeline, you better be careful because that's often when it happens.
Yeah, the power of manifestation, right? Creating definitely. What it is that you state out loud.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that lends itself to, I mean, I don't think people understand how much power they do have in dating and in creating love in their life. You know, and I think you agree with this too, is that, you know, what I also share with my clients is that, you know, in order for us to know what love feels like, in order to receive it, right, we get to start with ourselves. I was madly in love. I married my college sweetheart. But you know, it came to a point where I stopped loving myself and I didn't know what feeling love felt like. So can you talk a little bit about why loving yourself, that relationship with yourself is most important, as well as, you know, it's almost combined with that desire that you were just talking about?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the very most important relationship in your life will always be the one you have with yourself. It will always be, regardless of who else is in your life or not, how you feel about yourself matters more than anything else. And it will affect what you accept from other people. It will affect what you say to other people. It will affect whether you feel worthy of your wants and needs or not. It will affect whether you ask for what you want and need. It will also affect your ability to require what you want and need. And so how you feel about yourself and your needs and your worthiness is so core to how you show up in the world, how you show up in your relationships, what you're willing to say to get what you want and need. Because we are all worthy of having our needs met. We deserve that. And until we really believe that and own that and accept that, we tend to navigate the world in a very, very different way. Yeah. But in order to really manifest soulmate love, which isn't just a date, a hot date, or a casual fun guy to hang around with or hang out with, you know, to find soulmate love requires a very different trajectory. And it requires that we have fully accepted ourselves and are willing and ready to show up differently this time.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I so much of what you're saying is resonating because, you know, I think so many of us think that we first married our soulmate. And I don't know about you, but I believe that there are multiple soulmates that get to come into our lives. And, you know, I had an amazing relationship with, you know, my college sweetheart. I do believe that we were soulmates and our path ended when it was meant to end. And, you know, the next soul that gets to come into my life, you know, I am very much looking forward to that opportunity. And I think that what people don't understand too is that, you know, your mindset has so much to do with it, right? The way that you think about relationships, the way that you think about love. So how do you work with your clients around mindset as it relates to finding soulmates and love?
Yeah. Well, one thing that you said made me want to say something else, which is, I really, you know, most of your listeners are probably divorced. And, you know, we often hear people say that divorces are failed relationships. And I really don't believe that. I really think that every relationship, it's not failed if you take the lesson. And so many people, you know, it's hard when relationships end. It can be devastating. I've had that experience myself too, where, I mean, you're just not even sure how you're going to get to the next moment. Right. You know, I've been there. I know how hard it can be. But we're meant to pay attention to our lives. We're meant to, the unexamined life isn't worth living. Mm-hmm. So when we can get some perspective and we can look at, all right, what worked? Because in every relationship, something works or else you wouldn't be together.
Right.
So I think really looking at what worked and what didn't work in your significant relationships and bringing forward what worked and what didn't work, letting that inform us of what that means then moving forward in terms of what we need.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe our ex was a workaholic and that didn't really work for us. Okay, well, that's really important information to have about that we can carry forward in terms of clarifying what we want and then using that to qualify who we date in the future.
Yeah.
And that is all that it's meant to be. You know, that's it. And as soon as we get the lesson, then we can let go of the pain.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens.
Yeah. And how does that play into, you know, what we, you know, what I introduced the episode, you know, about being selective and not being selective enough? You know, so many times we fall into old patterns. I remember I started down a path of attracting the same type of man that I had married and realizing, you know, I wasn't being selective enough. I wasn't paying attention to some of the signs, you know, as I'm swiping on the dating app. So how can people really pay better attention, or how can they start kind of standing in their power really of not wavering on what they know that they deserve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great question. Well, I think the first, which is going to answer this question, plus your last question about mindset, sure, is that we need to start from an abundance mentality. Because if we don't, if we have a scarcity mentality, then we're going to take the next best man instead of the right man. Mm. You know, I think we've all dated Mr. Right Now, as opposed to Mr. Right. And for men, if they're listening, you know, Mrs. Right Now instead of Mrs. Right. But essentially that is settling. If what we're really wanting is a long-term relationship or marriage, then, and we're choosing someone who isn't a good fit for that, then we're settling. And the number one reason that women never find their soulmate is because they settle. Mm. And so a lot of women and men too don't know what to look for. They've never been that intentional about it. They just meet someone and that's their next girlfriend or boyfriend, and it just goes on from there. Usually by the time clients come to work with me, they're ready to do it in a different way. They're ready to be more intentional because they want different results. And so we get really, really clear about what we're looking for. Everything from, you know, the demographics, and some would say more superficial things, you know, hair color, eye color, height, ethnicity, education, things like that. But we also do a values inventory. So I do values-based matchmaking, and you know, values tend not to change over time. And when we have similar values with our partner, things go a lot easier. And things are supposed to, you know, an easy love is what I wish for all of you. It shouldn't have to be so hard. It tends to be hard when we don't make a great choice, but it doesn't have to be hard. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a value add. It's supposed to make your life better. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people come to me and some of them, we need to raise their bar, you know, based on what they're looking for. And other people, you know, are asking for the moon, sun, and the stars. And, you know, I mean, great that you have high criteria. But if nobody meets your criteria, then that's problematic. So we need to find that happy medium. And everybody's a little bit different, you know, and that should be. We all want different things. But we want to make sure that enough people qualify so that we can vet even deeper on the things that really matter. So, yeah, so it's finding that happy medium.
Yeah. And I think the word intention is really powerful. I use that word a lot. And intention to me means, you know, emotion, right? It's what are you looking for to feel what it is that you want to? And, you know, I also think a lot of us question if we were in love. Or do we even know what love feels like anymore? So if people are listening and even asking themselves that question right now, how can you help them to really lean into when it is? I think it's like one of, you know, a song on the radio, you know, back in the day, when is it love? How do I know when it's love? I just sang for the first time on my podcast. How do people know when it actually is love?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure I've ever been asked that before. Well, I will tell you this. When it is right, you feel it. You feel it. Your heart, your head, and your gut are all aligned. I know in previous relationships for me personally, a lot of times my heart was not aligned with my head and my gut. Like my heart was really, I was emotionally drawn and attached to the man in my life, mm-hmm. but my head and my gut weren't sure that it could, that we could go the distance. And so when it's really right, your head, your heart, and your gut will align and you'll feel the way that you want to feel. You mentioned that. And so many people don't pay attention to how they're feeling on dates, but it's so important because that's how you're going to feel the rest of your life with them.
Yeah.
So really paying attention to that is key.
Well, and sometimes I feel like it's almost like we do that out of fear of rejection or out of fear of not being what they want instead of setting your bar higher.
Yes.
Like you said before.
Yeah. I was just reading her homework this morning. And I think especially as women, we're so wanting, you know, we're kind of culturally trained to please.
Yeah.
And we want to be liked.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty common. But I think we also need to recognize that how we feel about the person in front of us is super important and great if they like us, but if we don't like them, then, you know, then it's not going to move forward, or it shouldn't at least.
Right.
So yeah, giving, you know, at least equal weight to how you feel about them as opposed to just trying to impress them is super important.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm happy to say that I have fallen in love after my marriage. You know, I'm fortunate, and it's interesting because the first time I went down this path of like, is it love? I understand now what you're saying when it's all three have to be in alignment. They all have to be in the same place. And I realized that before it may not have all been in alignment at the same time, if that makes sense. I don't know if you hear that sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. I do want to make a distinction because you can certainly be in love and not have all three aligned.
That's okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I'm just saying that optimally you want to have all three aligned so that it's sustainable.
Okay.
So that it can be more lasting.
Is there ever like a little bit of fear sprinkled in there of just like, oh my God, is this really happening? Is this real? Or is it just fully confident? Like, yes, I'm in love.
Well, I think there's the I'm in love, which is a wonderful feeling, but that can be different than can we go the distance? You know, is can this last and can this be sustainable? Mm-hmm. I think that's where weighing in on your head and your gut really come in.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I been in love many times and I had some really, really wonderful men in my life. It didn't necessarily mean that I thought it could last. So being in love doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last, unfortunately. But, you know, there are certain predictors of what will last. And, you know, I think one is that you bring out the best in each other. I mean, that you're better together than apart.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that way, that's better for the world too, you know?
Yeah.
So you each make each other better. You're better together than you are apart. You're a wonderful example for others to see, to inspire. And, you know, that's ultimately best case scenario.
Yeah. And I also believe too that, you know, yes, when you know that you're better together than you are when you're apart, it's also one of the things I struggled with. And now I understand is also ensuring that you're independent in that relationship, right? So many of us coming out of divorce come out of these codependent relationships, and also knowing that even though they do bring out the best in you when you guys are together, that you're still able to maintain your independence in a relationship. And I don't even think I learned that earlier. I didn't understand that distinction.
Yeah, that interdependence.
Yes.
Where you're not totally dependent on each other and you're not totally independent of each other, but that you're interdependent.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and what that looks like?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of a client of mine, and what I want you to know is that you can have it whatever way you want. You get to decide how your relationship will be.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of my clients recently, it was super important to him that he has 2 or 3 hours a day to tend to the things that are super important to him. And he's like, it's so important to me, I almost think I should like say it on the first date. You know? As if this was going to be a deal breaker for most women.
Right.
He's semi-retired, I should say, too. So it's not like he doesn't have a whole lot of time on his hands. So to me, that doesn't seem like a deal breaker or a difficult thing. But clearly in his last relationship, he didn't have that honored. And so now that is front and center for him and super important. So, nobody can take that away from you if you don't allow them to. So if you decide, I'm going to have my 2 to 3 hours a day or whatever your deal makers or breakers are, then that then becomes part of what you need. And the only way you can let go of that is if you allow yourself to let go of that. That then becomes what you need. And when we show up fully, and we ask for what we want and need and require it, then that is best case scenario. Because then the man in our life will actually know what we need. And those who really care about us and care about us being happy will want that for us too.
Yeah.
So often as women, we're trained to not show up fully, to not be honest and kind. We tend to opt for being polite over being honest. And men who really care about us, they just want a really clear path to our heart. But as women, we tend to assume that all women want the same thing, which is so not the case. We all want different things. And so when we assume that all women have the same thing, we absolve ourselves of the responsibility of actually saying what we want to the man in our life. And that is a really good way to never get it.
Wow. That just like blew my mind. Do you think we tend to overcomplicate it?
Oh, amen.
Amen. Well, yes. And I think that, you know, and especially coming out of the marriage that I came out of, like, I didn't know how to ask for what I wanted. I didn't know how to ask for what I needed. And, you know, it's something I've had to learn in my 40s. I've had to learn how to ask for what I need. As you said, I was always polite instead of being honest. I mean, that line just blew my mind. Like, I knew how to be polite. That's how I was taught growing up, but I was never encouraged to be honest. I don't even think I knew the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not alone. So many women, they show up politely, but not authentically. And then they wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And as we all know, men aren't mind readers, but the ones who care about us, they want to know what we want. And right. We have to be willing to tell them and give them, you know, give them the path to our heart and know that we're worthy of that.
Yeah.
Because only when we're worthy will we have those conversations.
Right.
Otherwise, we have those conversations with our girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, and I think you say something really important, which, you know, I know that I've been guilty of, and I know so many of the women that I work with have said this repeatedly, that they have conversations in their own minds, expecting the other person to be tuning into our frequency when they don't even have the device to be able to do so. And then all of a sudden we get upset because it's like, well, why didn't you know? Instead of, you know, men don't read minds, right? They just, it doesn't work that way. But yet as women, we expect them to. And I think that this is a really great lesson for people listening, is that this is another area that you get to work on as you are exploring dating, learning love again, is starting to hear your own voice and learn how to translate from your mind to speaking it in a way that is authentic, but also, you know, respectful and kind.
Definitely.
Right.
There is a way to say anything that is kind and honest. It's just a matter of finding your voice, finding a way that you can say it, and knowing that you're worthy of having whatever you're asking for.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as women, you're totally right. We project our complexity onto men. And thank God they're not as complex as we are. It's hard enough as it is, you know? So, men are more simple creatures than we are, and that's okay. And that's not a hit. It's just real. And, we're just more emotionally complex creatures. And I think most men know that. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be as complicated as it is what I want you to know. Yeah. Because when we start actually communicating what we want and need, and then we just watch. We watch the men in our lives. Do they show up differently? Do they keep doing the same thing? That's really valuable information. But at least we're doing our part, and we won't have regrets if we actually say what we want and need, knowing that they'll either rise to the occasion or not. But that in and of itself is really valuable information to have.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So much great stuff, Holly. So much good stuff. As we wrap our conversation, what advice would you leave our audience today, as, you know, they're sitting here wondering, like, it all sounds so good, but is love really possible for me? What would you say to that person who has that thought right now?
I would tell you that love is in the cards for you, and that if it's in your heart, then it's intended for you. And lastly, you have far more power than you know in dating.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. I learned that through my own experience. I could not agree more. Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. So many great nuggets.
It was wonderful. Thanks so much for having me. This was a really wonderful conversation.
Yes, I agree. And for everybody who tuned in today, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you got some really great information from Dr. Holly. I know that I did. I've got some memorable quotes that are just sticking right up there that she said that really struck me. And as you all know, I always strive to educate and to teach you guys so that wherever it is that you are on your path, you're getting a nugget of information that's helping you get one step closer to that destination. So thank you all for listening and tuning in today. Sending you tons of love, light, and joy as always. Mwah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this episode with someone you know or spread the word on social media. This is how I reach more divorcees around the world and provide them with the support they need to create their next best life. And I would also love to continue the conversation with you. So please friend me on Facebook, join my private Facebook group, The Divorce Rehab, and follow me on Instagram at Divorce Rehab with Wendy. I'll see you next time.